Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. God, as we open Scripture, may we hear your voice. May we learn of you, and may you draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the Antichrist and the end time issues. Now, tonight is an introduction. Next Wednesday, okay, so we're going to take Monday and Tuesday off. Wednesday evening, we're going to identify the Antichrist. Tonight, we're laying the groundwork. Tonight, we're laying the foundation. But we are going to identify the Antichrist next Wednesday. So I want to encourage you out to that meeting. It's a very important meeting. Tonight, I want to do a little bit of review. What we discovered last night is that Revelation tells a story, and the first most important person in that story, does anybody remember? Who is that? Jesus. That's exactly right. Revelation tells the story about Jesus, and that story about Jesus is in the context of things that are going to be happening in Earth's history. And that story about Jesus, about the things that are going to be happening in Earth's history, is written in, does anybody remember? It's written in a certain kind of language. Does anybody remember? It's written in sign language. Good job. Now, the Revelation tells a story in sign language, okay? So what is the story that Revelation tells? Well, we began last night with the story of God's people who were oppressed and burdened and defeated. And Jesus came and redeemed his people. And what did the devil do after he came, after Christ came and redeemed his people? The devil began to attack God's people. Do you remember that from last night? Yes, I see some acknowledgement of that. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, which is where we ended last night, we have the kind of introduction to the final crisis. Revelation 12, verse 17 says, the dragon, who did we learn the dragon is? The dragon is Satan. Excellent. The dragon was enraged with the woman, and the woman represents the people of God. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war on the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So here is the dragon angry at God's people who keep the commandments of God and hold on to the truth, the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is all that the prophets say about Jesus. So they hold on to the truth about Jesus. They hold on to the commandments of God. Now, this verse, and I didn't put it, if you have a Bible, we can look at it really quick. It's Revelation. Well, Revelation 13 describes the final attack of Satan on the people of God. Revelation 13 describes the final attack of Satan on the people of God. And Revelation 13 is that final crisis where the famous text about the mark of the beast is. Now, this verse, Revelation 12, verse 17, functions as the introduction to the final crisis. Now, I want to show you the concluding text of the final crisis, Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of who? Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something really significant. When Revelation introduces the final crisis. It introduces the final crisis, and it talks about God's people who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. That is the truth about Jesus testified by the prophets. Revelation 14, verse 12, the conclusion of this final great battle between good and evil, says, here is the impatience of the saints. The word patience here doesn't, it means endurance. Here are the people that make it through this crisis. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Big idea here, my friends. The idea of remaining loyal to Jesus and the idea of remaining obedient to Jesus is a very significant issue at the end of time. Could you agree with that conclusion based on what we've seen so far? Yes. I mean, if language means anything, it says that the people of God will keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That's important in the book of Revelation. Now, I want to show you the three major issues in Revelation 13. And I'm going to read several verses very quickly here. Okay, and I'm going to emphasize a word. At the end of reading all of these verses, I want you to tell me the word I emphasized, okay? So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He granted power to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." Revelation 14, a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark in his forehead or in his hand," verse 11, "the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whoever receives the mark of his name." Do you guys, what word did I emphasize? Or what? Worship. That's exactly right. As we read through Revelation 13, and we read through Revelation 14, seven times, how many times? Seven times, the book of Revelation says they worship, they worship, they worship, they worship, they worship. Over and over again, it says that they worship someone other than who they are supposed to worship. Okay? Now, do you think it's logical then to conclude that the issue of worship will be a massive issue at the end of time? Is that logical to conclude? I think it is. Now, I want to show you some more verses here, because the issue of worship in Revelation 13 is framed up in the language of the commandments of God. Okay? Notice what it says. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Now, the first of the Ten Commandments, the first of the Ten Commandments requires that God's people only worship who? God. So here, the dragon and the beast are receiving worship. That is a direct violation of the first commandments. Now notice here in verse 4 to 6. "He was given a mouth speaking great things and" what? "Blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. He opened his mouth in" what? "Blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his" what's that word there? "Name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven." Wow. Blaspheming the name of God. Is there anything about misusing God's name in the Ten Commandments? Oh, you better believe it. Enshrined right there in the holy law of God, the Bible says that you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, because the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes the name of the Lord in vain. Look at this one. Oh, this one is incredible. Speaking of the beast, it says he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an what? Oh. Is there anything in God's Ten Commandment law that talks about worshiping images? Yeah, right there in the second commandment. You can read this in Exodus chapter 20, and I would encourage you to do it. In Exodus chapter 20, God says that you should not make for yourself any graven image, and that you should not bow down to them, and you should not worship them. And the reason is that God is a what kind of God? He's a jealous God. You better believe it. He is desirous. Listen to me, church. He is desirous of heartfelt, pure devotion. Amen? And he does not want his people running around on him. Amen? So, in Revelation 13, the issue is introduced here in chapter 12, verse 17, by saying the devil, the dragon, is mad at the people of God, the woman, and was warring with those who are committed to being loyal to the commandments of God and the truth about Jesus. He is angry and he is attacking them. He is attacking them. He is calling the world to worship in a way, follow me now, to worship in a way that is inconsistent with the commandments of God. You following me here tonight? He's calling people to worship in a way that worships somebody other than the true God, that worships idols, that worships in ways that bring blasphemy to God's name. In other words, the issue at the end of time, according to Revelation 13, is an issue of worship and whether or not our worship is consistent with the commandments of God. Now, how? I mean, you think about this. If the devil showed up here tonight in a red suit with a pitchfork, right? And he says, y'all believe in Jesus, it's time to worship me. Okay. How are we gonna relate to that? I mean, like, there's the door in the name of Jesus. Amen? Right? Christian folk aren't going to fall for this, are they? Okay, there you go. Christian folk are the center of this attack. Look, who is the dragon angry at, and who is this end-timed crisis for? It is for those who care about obedience to God and who care about the truth of Jesus. Look, does the devil need a mark of the beast crisis to get the world to follow him? He's already got them. That's exactly right. The devil doesn't need an end time crisis to get the lost to stay lost. He's already got them. He needs an end time crisis because, look, he has already attacked the church. Look, I don't want to pick on my brothers and sisters here. I just read about a woman who is the pastor of the United Church of Canada. It's like a Protestant church. She is an atheist. Can you imagine? You're going to church, and your pastor's an atheist. And she is suing to keep her job. Now, look, I know, I read it. When I read it, I was like, this is insane. Okay, the point is, this is a special satanic attack at the end of time for those that are committed to obeying Jesus and believing and living the truth about Jesus. Now, how can the devil get those kind of people. You follow me here tonight? How can the devil trick those kind of people? And the answer Revelation has, well, let me introduce you to the strategy. We've talked about the dragon here, and he has a friend. Well, I got to go through all these texts and figure out where I'm at here. Revelation 13, verse 4. Yeah, 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the stand of the sea, this is John speaking here, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Okay, so in Revelation 12, we have a guy named the dragon. He's attacking God's people. Then we, in Revelation 13, we have a beast rising up out of the sea, and he attacks God's people. Now, I want you to see the other character, Revelation 13, verse 11. I saw another beast coming up out of the what? Okay, now. Okay. On this planet we live on, there are only two kinds of stuff, right? Land and sea, right? That's what this planet is made of. So what we see is the dragon, that's Satan, and he has a friend, he's a sea monster, and then he has another friend, he's a land monster, and the dragon and the land monster and the sea monster, the three of them work together to deceive God's people into worshiping in ways that violate God's commandments. That's it. Now, how does the dragon, the sea beast, and the earth beast, how do they trick people like you, people like me, people like us, who are committed to living lives of obedience and loyalty to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How does he do it? With a Trojan horse. You know what the Trojan horse is? Here's a gift. And it was filled with the enemy. Maybe to be more specific, he does it with a counterfeit. Now, this is where things get fascinating. The dragon, follow with me now. I'm going to throw it out there, and then I'm going to prove it. You're going to have to hang with me for a while to get the proof. All right? The dragon is a counterfeit of God the Father. The sea beast is a counterfeit Jesus Christ. And the earth beast is a counterfeit Holy Spirit. Now, I've thrown it out there, and now I've got to spend some time proving it, okay? So check this out. Where am I at here? There we go. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. What did I miss there? Okay, that's fine. John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits, that's the Holy Spirit, who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Now, did you notice this? Revelation begins with a promise of grace and peace from three people. Him who is and who was and who is to come, that's God the Father, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. By the way, why does it say seven spirits there? Anybody know? Anybody? Do you guys want an answer for that? I forgot to put it up on the screen. You'll have to take your Bibles out. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. Let me show it to you. Isaiah chapter 11. It's an incredible prophecy of Jesus. And in Isaiah 11, it says in verse 1 and 2, it says, there will a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Jesse is King David's dad. So from David's family, there will come a branch. And it says in verse 2, Revelation 11, or Isaiah 11, 2, the Spirit of the Lord, that's one, will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, two, and understanding, three. The Spirit of counsel, four, and of might, five. the spirit of the knowledge, 6, and fear of the Lord, 7. Here in Isaiah 11, the Holy Spirit is described with 7 words. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, of counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. What it's saying is, when Jesus Christ comes as the lineage of David, he will be filled with the fullness of the Spirit of God. 7 represents fullness. Complete. So here in Revelation 1, God is described in a Trinitarian formula. Him who is and was and is to come from the 7 spirits, that's the fullness of the Spirit who's before God's throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. So in a counterfeit of who God is, you have a counterfeit dragon, sea beast, and earth beast. Now, check this out. In Revelation 16, this satanic trinity, notice what they call the satanic trinity, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophets, three unclean spirits like frogs. So there's the names of the beast. The dragon, and then the beast is the sea beast, and the false prophet is the earth beast. And what comes out of their mouths? What comes out of their mouths? 3 what? Unclean spirits like frogs. Interesting. Now, in Revelation 14, verses 6 to 9, and I cut out some, you can see the ellipsis there, I cut out some just for the sake of time, God sends 3 angels' messages. We'll talk about the 3 angels' messages. Then I saw another angel fly directly overhead with the gospel. Another angel, a second followed saying. Another angel, a third. Now, I want you to notice this. God the Father, him who was and is to come, the 7 spirits, and from Jesus Christ, the 3 of them send the 3 angels' messages. Here we see the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet send unclean spirits out like frogs. What you need to understand here today, my friends, is that the way people who love God, the way people who are committed to the Bible, the way people who are committed to living lives of obedience and loyalty to Jesus, the way the devil leads them astray is not by coming and saying, go live horrible, godless, evil lives. The devil comes looking like God, looking like Jesus, looking like the Holy Spirit, but it's a counterfeit. And he peddles counterfeit laws, counterfeit obedience. Now, notice here, Revelation 3, verse 21, this is Jesus speaking, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father on what? His throne. Now, notice in this text, Jesus shares the throne with his Father. Notice Revelation 13, verse 2. The beast that I saw was like a leopard, its feet were like a bear's, its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And notice this, and to it the who? Dragon gave his power and his, oh, what's that word there? Throne. Do you see that tonight, my friends? Jesus was welcome to heaven to share the throne with God. The dragon shares his throne with the sea beast. What we're seeing in Revelation is that at every step of the way, what the true God does, Satan counterfeits. Here's another. Well, look at this one. Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great, what's that word? Ooh, because he knows his time is short. The devil has wrath. Oh, I missed it. Revelation 11. I'm sorry, I missed a slide. In Revelation 11, I think it's verse 19. It describes, I'll just read it to you here really quickly. Revelation 11 It's the last couple of verses there in Revelation 11. Yeah, then, no, it's not. It's a little before that. It says in verse 15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven. The kingdoms of the world had become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah. He will reign forever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, and they said, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was, because you have taken your great power and you have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come." There's a counterfeit version of God's wrath. God has wrath, the dragon has wrath. Now, this one's fascinating. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. This is God's pure church, God's pure woman. She's described in this beautiful language. But the dragon also has a woman. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters." Again, you see, you have a counterfeit woman, a counterfeit wrath, a counterfeit throne, a counterfeit relationship between the Father and the Son and the dragon and the sea beast. Now, look at this. God has a seal. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. Chapter 13, verse 16. It causes all, this is the beast, to receive, both great and small, both rich and poor, free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or on the forehead. God has the seal. The dragon and the beast have a mark. This is an interesting one. God has a city. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Satan has a city. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, "Alas, alas, the great, you great city, you mighty Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come." Now, those are parallels. This one, okay, I can tell. Some of you are kind of tuned out here. Prepare yourself. I saw a beast rising out of the sea. How does the beast begin his work? By coming up out of the sea. How does Jesus begin his work? What was the beginning of Jesus' ministry? And Jesus was baptized. Immediately he went up from the water. The sea beast, listen to me this evening, the sea beast is a counterfeit of Jesus Christ. Look at this one. One of its heads, this is Revelation 13, verse 3, talking about the sea beast. One of his heads seemed to have a what kind of wound? A mortal wound. What does a mortal wound cause? And its mortal wound was what? Okay. When a mortal wound is healed, what do we call that? How about a resurrection? How about a resurrection? The sea beast begins his work coming up out of the water. Jesus begins his work coming up out of the water. Jesus receives a mortal wound on the cross, and that mortal wound is healed in the resurrection. This beast receives his mortal wound, and then it is healed in a resurrection. Jesus received his authority to rule from the Father. He will rule them with a rod of iron. Jesus will. As when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. Now I want you to notice, God the Father is a person. Jesus is a person. God the Father gives to Jesus his authority. Revelation 13, verse 4, they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the who? Beast. This one's amazing. Oh, I forgot to put it in there. How did I do this? I've forgotten so many things. Look there in Revelation 13. If you have your Bible, you can just take it out. In Revelation 13, this is like one of the best ones. Revelation 13, verse 5. Revelation 13, verse 5. It says this, "The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for how long? 42 months. 42 months is 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Read through the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus' ministry is 3.5 years. What is Revelation telling us? Revelation is telling us something incredibly significant here. It says there's going to be a battle, a crisis at the end of time, where people who loyalty to God really matters are going to be challenged by counterfeit versions of God, counterfeit versions of Jesus. And in a moment, I'll show you counterfeit versions of the Holy Spirit. And those counterfeit versions of God and of Jesus and the Holy Spirit will lead people to worship in ways that violate the commandments of God concerning worship. Let's look at that second beast, the beast that comes up out of the earth. It says this, in Revelation 13, verse 12, it exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. Okay. Now, just there is a lot in this verse. Okay. The earth beast has the authority of the sea beast and points people to worship the resurrected sea beast. Come on now, church. Are you hearing what that's saying? Just like the Holy Spirit points people, just like the Holy Spirit has the same authority that Jesus had, and the Holy Spirit points people to worship Jesus, the sea beast functions as a counterfeit version of the Holy Spirit. Now, check this out. You're like, yeah, give me a break. When the day of Pentecost arrived, remember when the Holy Spirit came in the day of Pentecost? Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of, what's that word there? Fire. The Holy Spirit has control of fire. The Holy Spirit appeared to them and rested on each of them. Look at Revelation 13, verse 13. What does this beast do? It performs what? Great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the way, what did the Holy Spirit do in the book of Acts? You stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. All throughout the book of Acts, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, signs and wonders are being made. And what do we see here in Revelation? We see there is a counterfeit God the Father, a counterfeit God the Son, and a counterfeit Holy Spirit. And these counterfeit versions are leading people away from loyalty to Christ, because what they think is Jesus isn't really Jesus. You get me here tonight? And what they think Jesus expects of them is not really what Jesus expects of them. What does this require of us? Two texts come to mind. Two texts. The first is John 17, 3. I'm just going to quote it for you. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Amen? Knowing the true God and Jesus Christ, that is life eternal. So the enemy comes, and he cooks up a counterfeit version of Jesus. He cooks a counterfeit version of the Holy Spirit, cooks a counterfeit version of God the Father, and then he says, hey, look, I'll show you how things ought to be done. Second closing text, John 5:39. John 5:39. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they that testify of me. This evening, my friends, how do I want to say this? You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say this. Search the Scriptures, because they testify of Jesus. And there are no problems with the Scriptures. The Scriptures are an honest record of who Jesus Christ is. Amen? And those Scriptures are above everything. They're above, way, way above me. Amen? And they're above not just me. They're above every preacher. They're above everything. Because they tell the truth about Jesus like no human being can. And knowing the truth about Jesus is the most important thing in these last days. Knowing the truth about Jesus and being loyal to Jesus is what matters in the last days. And it's not easy. There are churches pastored by atheists in Canada. There are churches that teach that Jesus isn't really God. There are all kinds of winds of doctrine out there. I'm not trying to say I'm perfect. I'm not trying to say my church is perfect. Not at all. What I'm saying is, there are things that look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, look like the Father, talk like the Father, look like the Spirit, talk like the Spirit, but aren't. The truth about Jesus and the Father and the Spirit is found when you search the Scriptures. And so tonight, I guess my appeal is, life eternal is about knowing Jesus, and Jesus is revealed in the Scriptures. The truth about Jesus is in the book. And when we see the truth, we embrace the truth, and we enjoy the truth. Amen? So my prayer is that we would be a group of people passionate about digging into the Bible and seeing the true God in Jesus Christ, whom he sent. And then once we see that, that we would say, loyalty to Jesus. Loyalty to Jesus matters more than anything. More than anything. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh man, we've seen what the crisis is. We've seen what the challenges are in a high level. Lord, we've seen counterfeits all through Revelation, counterfeit brides of Christ, counterfeit cities, counterfeit thrones, counterfeit wrath, counterfeit fathers, counterfeit sons, counterfeit Holy Spirits, Lord, and we have exalted your word to its rightful place, the only place of security and true knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, may we see Jesus for all he is and make much of him and remain loyal to him no matter what comes our way. Tonight, Father, we ask that you would bless us and that you would just draw ever close to us. In Jesus' name, amen.